following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us once again on Unity FM 93.5 FM. I really want to shout out to Atik, who's a pharmacy in the local area, who took the time out to just talk to us about how we can improve community engagement, particularly with pharmacy and also the integrated care systems. And we talked about the importance of engaging with people before crisis point, that early intervention, as Patrick pointed out to us, and the importance of signposting and perhaps working with some of the bigger companies that are out there, just to really inform the wider community of the importance of mental health and well-being. We are with our executive director, Patrick Nirumbu, who is, like I said right at the top of the show, I'm quite excited just to have one of our executive directors come onto the program and talk to us about his role and some of the changes that he's already planning and also have already managed in his short time of being with the Trust. So, Patrick, again, once again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we were talking just before Atik came on about, you know, some of those major changes that you've managed to make, particularly during the time of COVID. And we acknowledge that, you know, sadly, some of our members of staff have transitioned and has left us, and how sad that is. But again, part of their legacy is work like this, and the fact that we are able to still continue and to do some great things. And I just wanted you just to wrap that bit up before we started talking about the stigma that's associated to mental health and what that means for an executive director.
Yeah, sure. What I think we're really talking about, how did we navigate through some of those challenges? And I did say really credit to our staff and our wider community in terms of really understanding how this was impacting them and what else we needed to do. For me, ideas to innovate don't just come from executives. I'm there to enable people to be innovative and to create the best environment for people. So I'm always listening to new ideas, trying to think about what else can we do, and taking people with us. So that's really important. Most of the ideas were coming from our staff and service users to say, can we not try and do that? Because this was really new to all of us. And it was not just about policies and procedures. It was really about testing our compassion. 'Cause that's really how we went through this. Because it was impacting everyone. It didn't discriminate who you were. So whether you were an executive or whoever, you were impacted in some way. And I think it's really tested our compassion as individuals and our resilience. And I think that's how we got here. And again, it's now really testing us in terms of those values. How do we live those values together as a community? 'Cause when I saw, whether through the media, communities supporting each other with food, I know this happens all the time, but when this was happening during the pandemic, I think it's remarkable that human kindness that you saw, I think it went way beyond just a profession, and people understood the challenges that our nurses, doctors, allied health professionals we're going through, having to come into work in an environment where they could potentially be exposed to COVID whether through public transport and so forth. So I think it's really important to recognise some of those values that really saw us through the challenges.
Brilliant. 0121 772 8892. If you want to make a contribution to this programme, we're speaking to our Executive Director, Patrick Nurumbu. And you would have heard him mention compassion and kindness. Those are often not words associated with strategy. But I have to tell you, I agree. And I think the pandemic of kindness that we saw throughout our organisation and right across the NHS, and not to get too political about it, hence now we're in a real challenging situation amongst our workforces right across the country, whereby it was okay to clap NHS nurses when they were performing out of their skins in terms of the pandemic and that pandemic of kindness, if you like, and that compassion that people were showing. And we find ourselves in this situation right now. And again, we're not going to dwell too much on the politics of that. But I think, as Patrick and I agree, I think this is the time for those who can show some innovation and have compassion. And this is a time for you to be really thinking about engaging with the NHS. Not just in clinical services, I might add, right across the board. There are so many opportunities out there for people to get involved. So 0121 772 8892, if you want to have a contribution, have your say. If you want to send us a text on 07947 773 949, we'll get you through to join in the conversation with myself and Patrick. So Patrick, mental health stigma is, in my role, still one of the biggest challenges I face, because even as Attica alluded to on the call, still there are communities who are reluctant to recognise symptoms, who are reluctant to have the conversations, who are reluctant to share information with their GPs, and certainly even recognise mental health as an issue. Low moods, anxiety, those kind of things. And I know you're a big advocate of challenging stigma and improving mental health literacy. Just share some of your thoughts around how we can engage communities more going forward. We are where we are. Yeah. Going forward, how do we engage communities in terms of improving mental health literacy and challenging stigma?
Yeah. So you're absolutely right that it's important that we do challenge stigma. And this is not something that you kind of do from an NHS perspective. This is something that you have to really dig deep and think about, what does this look like from a community's perspective? And very similar to what Atik was describing, which is, how do we do that in some of our local communities? I think it's about the dialogue in a very respectful way. Being able to understand and appreciate the other person or people's point of view. Because sometimes it's easier to create a them and us. You know, they think this and we think this. When actually, this is really about having a dialogue and being able to understand that. So for me, is how do we enable all of us in the work that we do around engaging our communities, being able to be in their shoes? So what is it that either disempowers them? But although I'm using that term, I don't think potentially from other people's perspective they see it as disempowerment. Actually, they might see it as actually empowerment. I understand what's going on for me. It's not mental health. But it's being able to have those very open conversations, and they appreciate where they're coming from, then starting to think about solutions. the risk is that we jump to conclusions, we come up with solutions, when actually those are not solutions that are fit for purpose for certain communities. So I think really engaging and the depth of the engagement is really important, so that we can truly co-produce and shape this, and being able to resource it as well. And I must say, most of the time, it's not the NHS who might have the capability to do that. And that is the reason why we've really been focusing on engaging with the voluntary sector, to ensure that we're really tapping into that, into the skill set to truly engage. Because otherwise we just think we're the NHS, we know how to do it. Well, actually, sometimes we need to hold our hands up and say, no, we don't.
Absolutely. 0121 772 8892. And as you can hear, we're talking to our Executive Director of Strategic People and Partnership, Patrick Narumbu. And we're really getting into the nuts and bolts of collaborative working, the importance of language and dialogue, and how important it is to find the solutions for this diverse city that we live and work in. Birmingham, as you know, is one of still a super diverse city. That's what it's called, and hence the title of this program: What Shape Are You In? Are we able to engage with the diversity that is here? So therefore, co-production is really, really important. It's really important in terms of how we sit with people, how we recognize their stories and their experiences, and co-produce services that is, as Patrick says, fit for purpose. And that moves us nicely, Patrick, into the transition and change of the organization and the culture, I think. And I've seen some big shifts. I've been with the Trust for 12 years. And again, in a very short space of time, not only yourself, but Rasheen as well, through your leadership, I can say I've seen a shift. And when I have patients on this program, because for me, it's really important to understand some of that strategic shift and the culture of the organization. But if we're not impacting on the people that we're there to serve, then that's where, as you rightly said, we need to check out whether we're fit for purpose. And I've had several patients now who have had the opportunity to share their story, and they talk positively about their experience. And patient outcomes, I know, is right at the heart of your agenda and your leadership style. So just on a really broad level, in terms of how we position the organization to improve patient experience, it is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for what you described as starting to see changes. I think it's really important, yes, that we do celebrate some of the changes that we're seeing in a positive way. However, we know that we don't always get it right, and what I and the other executives really committed to is we want to really make a difference, and that starts with us. So for me, it's important that when we talk about our values, and I was talking about being compassionate, we also talk about being inclusive and being committed. It's being able to think about, so how do I role model that? What does that mean for me as an executive in terms of shaping the culture of the organization? And my behaviors really need to be in line with that. So I think that's the first thing really for me. But then really thinking about strategically, what are the key things that we want to focus on? There are significant health inequalities within our city. And there is work that we've been focusing on around patient and carer race equality. framework, which is really focusing on how do we work with our local communities to improve the experience of care and reduce health inequalities. So some of that work, I think, has been really important. It's really about holding the mirror and saying, this is the experience that people are having in your services, and what are you going to do about it? So we can't change everything overnight. However, I think some of the key things that have been coming through around access to services, really improving that for people from specific demographics, and also within some parts of the city of Birmingham and also in Solihull. So really focusing on that, I think, is important. And also, how do we ensure that we've got a workforce that's fit for purpose and responds to the needs of our local communities? And we have really been focusing on that in terms of how do we embed those values that I've described to you in terms of being compassionate and being inclusive and committed. Yes, we still have quite a way to go in terms of fully embedding those values, but that's how we want to ensure that we deliver our care through those values and we live those values every day, whether it's really about the relationship that we form with colleagues within the organisation, but also in terms of how our staff interact with the service users to support them to navigate the different pathways that we have. So I think the future is bright for the organisation, and you know, we are committed to really make a difference.
Brilliant. And one of the things about when you see such proactive leadership, because of people's styles and because of their ability to deliver and lead, they normally move on quite quickly. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. But part of the sustainability, if you like, in terms of what we've seen and what we've, and what certainly patients are experiencing, that comes from the top in leadership. So it means that people on the ground like myself and those that are working particularly in services, and I'm thinking about some of the work I've done in secure care where it's really quite intense there, and the level of staff skill levels are really quite high, but their motivation to see people transition back into the community is really quite at the forefront of their thinking. But that drive and for those people, because of what's happening at the top, really helps them to really say, okay, the sustainability part is really quite important. Right. How do we ensure that sustainability at the top and that level of value-led leadership is maintained? You know, the inclusive, committed, compassion, we know that's the trust values, but to hold that, which is new, and I know we do some work around that, how do we ensure that, one, that continues to be filtered through the whole workforce, but more importantly, is experienced with patients?
Yeah. So I believe that we with the leadership, it's really about enabling people to see the vision and to carry on with the mantra whether you're there or not. So yes, I understand where you're coming from around stability of leadership and also the leadership shapes and maintains the momentum for any change to be sustainable. However, it's really important as well that leadership exists at all levels within our organisation. There's shared accountability. So as much as that culture is set by the board, it's really important that how people experience this happens at different levels. So for me, it's really thinking about if you're working on a team in one of our units, how do you experience that team, and do they live the values of the organization every day? Because that's what matters. to our staff when they come to work every day. And that's what matters to our service users in terms of how they experience the care that they receive from our staff. So that's really about local leadership. And yes, we set the tone, but I think in terms of truly embedding it, it really takes the thousands of people in our organisation taking that responsibility and being accountable for the way they show up to work and how people experience them.
Brilliant. 0121 772 8892. We're almost at the end of the programme, would you believe? But you still have a chance. You might be thinking of a comment or something that you might want to share with our executive director. Please take the opportunity. I know I'm going to invite him back, and I'm sure he'll come back again. But while we've got the opportunity now, if you do want to ask him a question or ask us a question, we're happy to take the question. 0121 772 8892. And as we're about to wrap up, Patrick, I just wondered if there was something specific that you would want to... We've talked about a lot of things, and we could easily do this for another hour, I'm sure. But there might be something that you particularly wanted just to say to our local communities who are out there feeling perhaps a little bit vulnerable, a little bit unsure about services. How would you encourage them? I mean, we talked about early intervention, which is really important. Always go and speak to your GP. But as we've also identified that, and Attic helped us to share this, the fact that people are still not communicating, we're offering a crisis intervention service almost. And as you were saying earlier, if people come to us, it's often quite late, and it means that people are very poorly and need our intervention. That's why we're there. So I just wondered, as we start to wrap up the programme, what would you encourage our communities and those listening to do?
Yeah, so I think in terms of mental health support, we work very closely, as I said, with some of our voluntary sector or organisations. For example, we work closely with Mind. There is a helpline in Birmingham that if you need advice and support, you can access. I can share the number here.
Yeah, please do.
Which is 0121 262 3555 or 0800 915 9292. So it's available 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you need advice and support and you need urgent mental health help, you can always contact the helpline and they'll support you and navigate you to the right service. So it's important that people access support. And also... the voluntary sector, in partnership with us, they also do offer support in terms of coping during a crisis. So the offer is there. We wouldn't want people to not to access support and end up in crisis and needing secondary care services. So that's one thing I would share. We touched as well on some of the opportunities and people who might be interested in working in mental health. We do know that sometimes when we put our jobs out there for people, one of the things that's quite daunting is I haven't got the right qualifications to do this. We have been really thinking about what we call entry-level roles, which is really starting to think about a career in health and social care. And coming in at entry level and being supported in terms of careers through different pathways. You might be interested in being a psychologist, you might be interested in being an occupational therapist or a nurse or a doctor. There are many, many pathways. We offer apprenticeships, we offer internships. So there's a lot that we do offer as an organisation. You can go onto our organisation website, where you can get more information. And I know Beresford is here to support.
Patrick, we're coming to the end of the programme, would you believe? And it's been a delight to have you on the programme. I want to thank you again for your time. I know you're a busy man, and for us to have such quality time, I'm really very grateful. So, Executive Director of People and Strategy, or Strategy People and Partnerships, Patrick Norimbo, thank you so much for being with us. And as you've heard from Patrick, please, you know, don't suffer in silence. That number to call, 0121-262-3555. And also, if you're thinking of joining our organisation, the NHS, Birmingham Solihull Mental Health Trust, is open for business. There's several pathways that you can come in, entry levels. We want to hear from you. You know I'm here every week. Until next week, take care, and I'll see you soon.